I'm continuing a series that we are doing for Advent in this church on the gifts of Christmas as that comes to us. And we have been going through this series in a way where we follow the themes of the Advent candle lightings that take place. So we began last week by talking about the gift of hope and how we receive that gift of hope through that. And today we light the candle of love, so we consider what it means for us to receive the gift of love as it comes to us. This series that we're doing on this that goes through Advent, taking all of these passages from the book of Romans. And Romans is perhaps not your first go-to place in Scripture for Advent stories, but it is a story, a letter written in the New Testament that has a lot to do with the giftedness that comes to us through God. In fact, in the NIV Bibles that we have, the translators of the NIV give a little synopsis, a summary of each book of the Bible that's there in the introduction. And this is what the NIV Bible says as an introduction to the letter of Romans. It says this: "This letter presents theology in a logical, organized way and focuses on salvation as a gift from God through grace by the blood of Jesus Christ." That's what comes to us in Romans, this letter about a gift that we receive from God. Today, a gift of love as it comes to us through that, as we see that. So, I'm going to read a little bit from chapter 5 of Romans, and this is not going to sound like a Christmas story. In fact, you may wonder as we read this, what in the world? This is a passage that's talking about sin and death, and what does that have to do with this gift of Christmas? But follow along. We'll get there. We'll see how this shows us something of the Christmas story that comes to us through this in the gifts that we receive. All right, so Romans 5, I'm going to begin at in chapter 5 at verse 12. Before we read that together, would you join me in a prayer? God, we open your word today, and we pray that as we read these words that were written so long ago as a letter from the Apostle Paul to the church in Rome, God, may your Spirit speak these words to us yet today, that we may hear from you exactly what you have for us to hear today. We pray this in the name of Jesus. Amen. All right, Romans 5, I'm beginning at verse 12. Here's what the Apostle Paul writes. "Therefore, just as sin entered the world through one man, and death through sin, and in this way death came to all people, because all sinned. To be sure, sin was in the world before the law was given, but sin is not charged against anyone's account where there is no law. Nevertheless, death reigned from the time of Adam to the time of Moses, even over those who did not sin by breaking a command, as Adam did, who is a pattern of the one to come. But the gift is not like the trespass. For if by the many died by the trespass of the one man, how much more did God's grace and the gift that came by the grace of the one man, Jesus Christ, overflow to the many? Nor can the gift of God be compared with the result of one man's sin. The judgment followed one sin and brought condemnation. But the gift followed many trespasses and brought justification. For if by the trespass of the one man death reigned through that one man, how much more will those who receive God's abundant provision of grace and of the gift of righteousness reign in life through the one man, Jesus Christ? Consequently, just as one trespass resulted in condemnation for all, so also one righteous act resulted in justification and life for all people. For just as through the disobedience of the one man, the many were made sinners, so also through the obedience of the one, the many will be made righteous." The law was brought in so that the trespass might increase. But where sin increased, grace increased all the more. So that just as sin reigned in death, so also grace might reign through righteousness to bring eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord. This is the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God. Something about the gifts that we celebrate at Christmas then. I mean, this tradition of gift giving and gift receiving is maybe something that we, for the lives that we have known and lived, always associate with Christmas. That it's a time when you gather and you give and you receive gifts. But that's a tradition that came from somewhere. In fact, maybe the way that we know it in our culture can trace back a bit. Going back to when Clement Clark Moore published a poem in 1823 in a newspaper in New York, a poem called what we would know as "Twas the Night Before Christmas," that talked about a man who rides in a sleigh that's pulled by magical reindeer and comes into your house and leaves presents, gifts. And so this exchange of gifts that takes place at Christmas, and we see it in our culture today associated around that, but it goes back further than that. It did not begin in 1823 with the publishing of that poem in New York, because the actual title of that poem is not "Twas the Night Before Christmas." The actual title of that poem that's written by Clement Clark Moore is "A Visit from St. Nicholas." St. Nicholas was a real person, not something made up. St. Nicholas was someone who lived as a monk back in the 4th century, so a long time ago. And St. Nicholas, who became known then as a patron saint for generosity, he was especially known as a monk who was generous and would give gifts to people in need, especially among the poor and needy, and especially to children. So, from the 4th century on, as the church progressed back in those times, and back in those times, the church had saints, and they commemorated all those saints on different days of the year. So, there was in the church calendar a St. Nicholas Day. And St. Nicholas Day was always celebrated in the month of December. So, the church for many, many years celebrated St. Nicholas Day in December. It was in the area of Belgium and Germany that nuns who lived in the towns around there took to the habit on St. Nicholas Day of putting together baskets of food and clothing that they would bring around in their villages and leave on the doorsteps of the households there, giving gifts on St. Nicholas Day as a way of commemorating the way St. Nicholas was known for being a generous person. And so this tradition is born of giving gifts on St. Nicholas Day in commemoration of that. The Dutch people in particular had their own way of doing this, that the children would leave their shoes in the parlor of the house, and then at night, they've said that St. Nicholas himself would come into the parlor and put gifts into the shoes of those kids that would be left out there. It's the way the Dutch celebrated that. Well, the Protestant Reformation came along through Europe, and the Protestant Reformation did away with all of these saint days that we commemorate. So a lot of that tradition fell by the wayside, except for the Dutch, because, I don't know, the Dutch are just stubborn when it comes to giving up traditions, maybe that way. But they continue to do that, to celebrate this thing of leaving shoes out on the parlor, and St. Nicholas would fill those shoes with gifts as they come along. The Dutch, as they immigrated to America and would settle in back in the colonial times, what was the city of New Amsterdam, continued that tradition that they brought with them. Well, New Amsterdam eventually was renamed and became what we know now as the city of New York, and years later, in that city, Clark publishes this poem about the visit of St. Nicholas, taken from these Dutch immigrants who, by the way, St. Nicholas in Dutch is Sinterklaas, as they knew him, right? So this tradition of giving gifts and receiving gifts goes back a ways. In fact, we could probably even say it goes back even into the story of the Bible itself, where it comes from. That Jesus himself is a gift that's given to the world. But even in the story of that, in Matthew's account of the gospel that Matthew gives us, there are these magi who come from the east and they bring gifts to Jesus. So even in the first Christmas story that we see in the Bible, there is a tradition already there of gifts that are given and received that come to us through that. And maybe we're familiar with that story. The magi who live far in the east, they see the star, they follow the star. They come first to Jerusalem, where they meet with who is then the king Herod in Jerusalem, and say, "Where is the king of the Jews who's been born? We've seen a star." And then the religious scholars gather together and they search through their Old Testament passages and they find that passage that says Bethlehem is where the king of the Jews comes from. So they direct the wise men to go to Bethlehem and there they find Jesus. And it's not like our Christmas card story, right? It's not on the night of Jesus' birth and they're in the stable and all that. It actually takes a couple of years for all of this to transpire. But at that time, Mary and Joseph are still living in Bethlehem. Jesus is still there, quite young as an infant, and they find Jesus, and they give their gifts. There is something about that that we see in the story of giving and receiving gifts and what that looks like. Gifts themselves can tell us a lot. When we think about that the gifts that we give and receive say something. In fact, we can see something in the gift itself about the giver, the one who gives the gift, and what that means. I don't know what Christmas shopping is like for you these days, but I will tell you that for me, Christmas shopping is pretty easy. In fact, I can do it right from my living room sofa. Because I just log on to Amazon and pick the things there and click and have it delivered directly to them. I can do all that through Amazon Prime without even ever having to get up from the sofa and do that. Maybe that's kind of how we go around in doing that these days, but that's not how we should think of the story of the Magi and the gift that they bring. We see in that story of the Magi something about the givers. There was no Amazon Prime that they could just log into and click on and have it delivered, and there it was. They traveled. In fact, they traveled for weeks, perhaps even months, from the east to find Jesus. And they would do that no matter what it takes. Thinking of that they dropped whatever it was their lives were doing. Just put that all on hold. Set that aside. We're going to take the next foreseeable, however long it takes, to travel and find this king that has been born. So they go on this search and they first go to Jerusalem. They find out, they go to Bethlehem, and they are willing to stick with it, and they will do whatever they have to do to find Jesus in order to present the gifts that they have brought. We see something in that story, in the gift itself, something about the giver, the one who gives the gift, and what they went through to do that. But we also see something in the gift about the ones who receive it, right? It is not just the giver of the gift, but also the receiver of the gift that we see in that. We have ways of thinking about this in our time too. When a couple gets engaged to be married, right, there is sort of this tradition in our culture that among that couple that there's a gift of a ring. And one person gives the gift of the ring to the other person along with a proposal for marriage. And that is a gift in which we see something about the receiver, right? We give a special designation. Not only am I just giving a ring, but I'm also giving that with a very special identity and designation in mind that I would like for you to be my spouse so that we can be married. That wedding proposal process and the gift of a ring carries some of that with it. The receiver of the gift, we find out something about who's receiving the gift and the significance of what the gift is about through that. We see something of that in this story too, with the magi, the wise men. They come and they bring what Scripture tells us in Matthew is gifts of gold, frankincense, and myrrh. These are not ordinary gifts. This is not just a party favor or a housewarming or you know, the kind of thing you just give to anybody. These are in particular gifts for a king. So even in the gift itself, you see something about who it is that's receiving the gift, the identity and the designation that's given to the one who receives the gift. Gifts work that way, that we see something of that. And it's not just this story that we see in the Bible, right? It's not just the Magi, but I think we see other examples of that in our time and in our culture as well, that for many of us, sometimes the gift itself tells us right away something about the person who gives it, something about the person who receives it, and something about the reason why the gift is given. I have an illustration of that I think would be obvious to most people here, perhaps all people here. A gift that I received, it's a tiny loaf of lemon poppy seed bread. I'm going to guarantee that just about everybody in this room immediately knows who the giver of this gift is. By those of you who have also received a gift of a tiny loaf of lemon poppy seed bread. This is something that Pastor Barb gives out various times and occasions. You immediately know the giver of the gift. And you immediately know the reason why, for the many of you who've received a gift like this as well. It is simply a gift that says, I'm thinking of you. I appreciate you. You're in my prayers. A gift that is given hundreds of times. I don't know if we could do a count. All right, I'm convinced in the Sanders home there's a secret room somewhere, a secret kitchen. Right? And it's one of those hidden things where you got to, you know, turn the head of a statue and a bookcase opens. And there must be an oven that's just churning these things out 24 hours a day, nonstop. How else could it happen? I have no other way of explaining it. That's how gifts are. Sometimes in the gift itself, we see so much that we can know and figure out about the one who gives the gift. And the reason why the gift is given and received. We see some of that in that story from the Magi as well. So we could talk about Christmas traditions and gift giving and receiving and where that all comes from. But at some point, I'm going to take this back to that passage in Romans that we started with for here. That talks about a gift. That's what Paul says about it in that passage, that we have a gift that comes to us. And a gift, like all these other examples, is a gift that shows us something about the one who gives it. Right? We can learn about the giver of that gift and shows us something about those who receive it, the reason why the gift is given. And we go back to that and we see that again and again. This is what Paul says about that. He says about that in verses 17 and 18, where he talks about that gift that comes to us through Jesus. For if by the trespass of the one man, talking about Adam there in the Garden of Eden, one man, death reigned through that one man, how much more will those who receive God's abundant provision of grace and of the gift of righteousness reign in life through the one man, Jesus Christ. The gift that is given at Christmas. Paul identifies it here as righteousness. The gift is righteousness. And it is the gift of the righteousness of Christ himself. His own righteousness that he gives as the gift at Christmas. Something about the giver. Something about who it's given to. The very next verse, in verse 18, consequently, just as the one trespass resulted in condemnation for all people, so also one righteous act resulted in justification and life for all people. One righteous act. Paul's referring to the Easter story there. Jesus giving himself, his very life, so that his righteousness could become ours. So that the guilt of our sin, he would take upon himself in exchange for giving us his perfect righteousness. Paul sets this all up in ways that go to great lengths, right? He goes all the way back to Adam. I don't know if you've ever played that game where you set up dominoes on end and you make kind of a thing where you tip one and then the whole thing goes down, sort of tipping the dominoes like that. Paul is sort of setting that up in this passage with Adam, going all the way back to the first human beings, Adam and Eve. That when Adam and Eve sinned, that was like the tipping of the first domino from which all the other dominoes fall. Everything comes crashing down around that. You and I, us, we're born into that world. We're born into a world where that sinful nature is just in us from the moment of our conception. Everyone, we are all born into it. So this gift that God gives then, it's not for a select few in that, all right, did you pass the trials? Do you have the right resume? Did you actually get yourself in the right position to receive this? Are you worthy of the gift? Paul is saying, you know what? We are all in the same place here. We are all in the same place. None of us are worthy of this gift. None of us can achieve receiving this gift on our own as something we deserve in any way. But in the same way, Paul is also very explicit in this passage to say, but the gift that is given is a gift that is amazing enough for all of humanity to receive it. Anyone who turns to God in faith, anyone who comes to Jesus believing in him, that anyone who in faith turns to God receives this gift, no matter what. No matter who you are, no matter where you've been, no matter what you've done, no matter what your past is, turning to God in faith is all that comes to us in that. In fact, Jesus himself lays that out for us in the Gospels, right? Perhaps the most well-known verse in all of the Bible, in John 3:16, Jesus says it. For God so loved the world that he gave his only Son, that whoever believes in him shall not perish, but have eternal life. God so loved the world. It's a gift of love. God does it because he loves the world. A little later in John's gospel, Jesus goes on to even explain a little bit further what love is. How do we know the love of God? John 15, he says this, greater love is no one than this, to lay down one's life for one's friends. That Jesus himself is the gift of love. That he is the one who lays down his life for us. So, just as we saw in some of those other examples, right? Those gifts that are given, we see a little something about the giver. We see that here too. That there is an example in this story for us to see that Jesus is the one who chooses to do whatever it takes to give himself as a gift of love. We call that grace. Grace because we don't earn it, we don't deserve it. It comes to us as a gift. So just like those Magi were willing to do whatever it takes. I will set aside everything else and do whatever it takes for as long as it takes to go find this King of the Jews that's been born, to go find Jesus. Jesus, in the gift that we celebrate at Christmas, his gift of love, says, I'm going to set aside everything. Set aside his glory, set aside his majesty. And Jesus says, I will do whatever it takes to get to them, these people that I love so much in this world that is broken. That is the gift that we see in Jesus. And it tells us about the one who gives the gift, tells us of his love for us. But just as we see something about the giver in that, you know what? This is a gift that also tells us about those who receive it, right? Those who receive this gift that comes from God, this gift of love for us, that it is a gift that we need. You know, I don't know how it is that you go about putting together a Christmas list, right? When friends, family, and others start asking, hey, is there anything you want for Christmas? And then I will have to admit that the things that I put on my Christmas list, it would be a really hard stretch for me to say, I need these things. No, that would be a lie. I think the things that I put on my Christmas list for friends and family and others are things that I want. Right? Yeah, that'd be nice. I kind of want that. I could live without it. I mean, I've been living without it, but it sounds nice. I'd like that. And truth be told, even if I didn't receive that as a gift from someone else, I probably have the means to go get it myself, even if I wanted, which is becoming a thing now, by the way, buying Christmas presents for yourself that we see more often. This is a gift that doesn't fall in a category like that, right? That the gift that we receive from God, it's not a gift that we can say, you know what, I mean, sounds nice, great, I'll enjoy it, right? But, I mean, take it or leave it, if I get it or not. No, this is a gift where we need it. In fact, we cannot live without the grace of God. And God knows that. It says something about us, the ones who received the gift. It says that we are in a position where there's no other way we could ever be right with God except for this gift. Except to receive what God gives. It's the only way that we can be made right with God. So we see something about us, the people who receive the gift, that the righteousness of Christ that's given to us, the righteousness of Christ is exactly the gift that we all need. It's the reason why it doesn't come with a gift receipt, right? There's no returning it, right? There's no saying, you know what? It's not the right size, you know, or I've already got one. I'm already righteous, you know, take it back. There's none of that because we receive this gift and it is exactly what we need. And God knows that. That's how it comes to us, this gift of love that we see and celebrate at Christmas. That it's not just the stories and the traditions that we hold. It's not just something that sort of connects in loose ways to the gifts that we give and receive among each other at Christmas time, but it tells us something profound about the one who gives the gift, God's love for us, and about we who receive the gift, given exactly what we need from God. So may we praise and worship God this day and every day for his gift of love given to us. Let's pray together. God, thank you for this gift of love. And Lord, often when we tell these stories, maybe we lose sight of just how far you went to bring this gift to us, laying aside everything else of your glory and your majesty. But may we be reminded of that in ways that tell us and remind us again how wonderful this gift is. And Lord, may we also then know and acknowledge the ways that we receive this gift of love. Exactly what we need, because you know our every need. And in knowing our every need, you provide that gift for us. Thank you so much for that. We pray this in the name of Jesus, our Savior. Amen.